Lord bless you. Lovely day to praise the Lord. As were the thousands before this day. We can never praise the Lord enough. I know that's true. Shall we start our service by singing and standing for 398, He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Needed someone to wash my sins away. Sing a brand new song, amazing grace, all day long. Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, the debt I could not pay. Needed someone. Wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt I could never pay.
Howard. What's on that screen? It was blocked right up. However, if we know shackled by a heavy burden, we can sing that one.
Shackled by a heavy burden.
Folks know, you know, once upon a time, it must, you kind of wake up on a Sunday morning and think, oh, I've got to go to church. It's different now. It has been for years now. You just know that the Lord is going to be here and that He's already with you as you're thinking about it, there in bed or at home. And when you come and we do it collectively, we just lift all our praise and love for our Lord. And He enjoys that too. That's what He wants us to do. So it's good to enter in, isn't it? Let's sing 340, Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want. Tim, would you like to open in prayer for us this morning? Just remember the folks that are listening in and being part of the service just by desiring to be here.
Precious Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, with open hearts, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would forgive us all our shortcomings, Lord, all our bad attitudes and things like that this morning, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would take every thought, Lord, every distraction, Lord, and that we might just give you all the praise and glory, Lord, that is due unto your name this morning, Lord, and just come humbly before you, Lord, that you might speak to us, Lord, and we just remember those people that are listening in, Lord, a special blessing upon them as well, and those that might still be coming. We just thank you again, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Let's sing 146, which is At the Cross. At the Cross. Well, the chorus is anyway, but the verses, alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Saviour die? My experience I've had, even recent times, where I know that I shouldn't have or didn't or wanted to and didn't and all this kind of thing. The thing is, if you ask the Lord to come in and, because of your blood, Lord, I can do this or I will do it. You know what? I actually feel His presence come in here, in the heart, not in the head, in the heart. I actually feel His presence and I say, thank you, Lord, because it's the way out. Not only is it the way out, it's the only way out. Of whatever we face, He will see us right if we ask. Let's sing 364. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, very sure. In times like these, you need a Savior.
anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I've got a simile about that. I've done a lot of fishing and I've had a lot of boats. And I know that when you hit that rock with your anchor, especially if you've been on drifting, the current or the wind is shifting you, or you're a little bit off trying to find the rock that's there, you know it's there. But as you go, your boat's drifting, drift, and suddenly it holds the solid rock. And I know the feeling, but it's so much better, of course, when it's with the Lord. And you'll know that anyone that hasn't made that decision for the Lord, it's your experience if you just give it to Him. He'll hold you. Absolutely, He'll hold you. Let's sing 188, Down From His Glory, The Ever-Living Story. We haven't sung this one for a while, I don't think. Oh, How I Love Him is the chorus, so you'll know that. Do you know that one, sister? My God and know that chorus? Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. Unless you do, you cannot sing it. You imagine trying to say that to someone that you don't love. Oh, how I love you, how I adore you. Doesn't come out right, does it? Now, if we really love the Lord, and it's not put on, it's genuine, you'll love this chorus. In fact, I think we should sing the chorus again right now. And if you love him, just reach out and say, yes, inside, I love you, Lord. Let's sing the chorus. Oh, how I love him. I don't know about any items, any from the coast or anything like that at this time. Anything that... Nothing? Okay. Well, let us just take these prayer requests that I have here. I was going to ask Brother Bill if he'd pray for these. We just remember Brother Joseph Ball, or Bally, how you say it, but we know them as Joseph and Cordy there in Germany. And he writes, has requested prayer for his health, also for his wife Cordy, who has not been good lately. And also he sends in another one a little later, which reads, please pray for me again. I have a really bad virus. Can't move much, been attacked in my body for the last week, feeling really weak, bones are aching, can hardly walk. God bless you all, Brother Joseph, Germany. Of course, the people that know him from Tauranga, New Zealand, and we know him quite well. He's been to this church a few times as well. Just remember the Trithui family. That God will be their comfort and strength at the passing of their dear father and husband, Brother Dennis Trithui. And of course, people on the internet there may realize that they used to fellowship with us here in this church for quite a lot of years. So may the Lord just comfort them at this time. Let's continue to uplift Israel before the Lord, to keep them and anoint them in all their decision making, and to encourage them regardless of their enemies. The Bible says that they will be blessed. They that bless Israel will be blessed. That's us if we pray. And I like that saying. That's true. I remember Israel quite a lot. They don't do everything right, but they're a God-chosen nation. And we thank the Lord for the answered prayers that we have all had if we've offered them up to our Lord. Is there any prayer requests right now as Bill comes? That? Oh, yes. Robin Eccles-Smith. She's been here a few times. She's not well at the moment. Some quite serious things that she has medically, so we'll just pray for her. That's Robin Eccles-Smith and her husband Peter, both love the Lord, so may the Lord undertake for them. Do we have any others? Oh, June? Howard? Oh, Brother Howard, yes. And Sister Meta. Oh, no, sorry, I'm thinking James, and but his brother, isn't it? Oh, no, I get it right. Oh, Howard Miraguire.
here, here. Is he not well?
He was in hospital. They were looking at his heart.
Oh, okay. Okay, Howard Muraguay there in Singapore. May the Lord undertake for him. Brother Bill, if you'd like to come. If there's any others at all. Lord Bishop Bill.
Well, he's a great God.
Amen. You know, I can just stand here and testify today of the great things that our God has done this week, just in our own whānau. Eh, Jan? He's a mighty, mighty God.
Amen.
And, you know, we should be thankful, like how I preached the other day. We should be thankful when hard times come our way, because, boy, does it drive you into God. And then you just see God work in just such an incredible, incredible way. So we're so grateful to him. What about you, Eloise? You got any prayer requests? Eloise, have you got any prayer requests? You don't have any this morning? Tony Ann was telling us the other day when she came up that didn't she pray for something that was right bang on target, eh? You know, out of the mouths of babes. Praise the Lord. What about you, Auntie Roe? You got any prayer requests? Anyone else? Timmy? For you. Amen. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Funny that I was just sitting in the seat and I felt to pray for that baby in your womb. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? Okay. You believing?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just hold on to him. And I was just thinking about Brother Joseph. You know, what a testimony, eh? Out of prison into paradise. Eh? What a great testimony. What was that brother's name who used to go into the prisons?
Ian Hamer,
yeah. Yep, for that, you know, how he just faithfully did that all those years. Bless him today too. And Lord, so we just come before you, Lord, in expectation, Lord. In expectation, because we serve a mighty God.
Yes,
a mighty God who loves his people just to call upon his name.
Yes.
Call out in their distress, Lord. For truly you are a strong tower and a help to us, Lord, in times of trouble.
Yes.
And, Lord, I can stand here this morning and just testify truly, truly, truly God answers prayer.
Yes.
And when we press into him, Lord, you just truly incline your ear to us, Lord. And you just hear the cry of your people, Lord, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we want to cry out to you for Joseph, Lord, over there in Germany, Lord, in a strange land with different people, different language, and he's just been afflicted with this virus, Lord. Lord, just your hand of healing would just reach out and just touch him today, Lord. Strengthen his body, Lord. Restore him back to his health that he might serve you in the full capacity that you have for him, Lord. Lord, also for his sister, for her dear sister Cordy too, Lord. Lord, just strengthen her body today too, Lord. Just draw them ever closer to yourself, Lord Jesus, and that they would just press into you and look to you for their healing. And we thank you for their healing, Lord, because we believe it's on the way. Lord, for the Trithuis at the loss of their husband and father and grandfather, I guess it is too, Lord. Just undertake with that family, Lord. Just draw nigh to them, Lord. Lord, just comfort them and strengthen them. I just know, just spend some time with my dad this morning, Lord. What a blessing it is to have a dad, Lord.
Yes.
And I really thank you, Lord, for dads, Lord.
Yes.
Just thank you, Lord, that Lord, you didn't just grow us up in the grass like out in the park, but you actually put us in a family, Lord Jesus, with a mummy and a daddy and nannies and papas and aunties and uncles, Lord, just to raise us up to be the people that you would want us to be. So just bless the Trithuis at this time, Lord. Lord, just for Israel, Lord, the nation of Israel, we do lift them up before your mighty throne of grace and mercy today, Lord. And we thank you for them, Lord. Truly it says that those who bless Israel will be blessed, Lord.
Yes.
And so we just want to pray that you would strengthen that nation, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Draw them to yourself, Lord, that they would call on the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Lord Jesus. And that they would know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And not only that, Lord Jesus, but that you came in flesh and dwelt amongst them, Lord. Dwelt amongst us, Lord Jesus. help them just open their eyes to see that, Lord Jesus. For answered prayer, and just for our brother over there in Singapore who just needs a touch from the Lord, we trust in Howard here. Lord, we just lift him up. Also for Robin Eccles-Smith, Lord, just for the physical needs that she has today, Lord. At this time, Lord, we just pray that you would restore her, Lord. And, Lord, just for Timmy, Lord, just strengthen Timmy at this time, Lord. Timmy Main, Lord. Lord, just grant him just a real sense of purpose, Lord, for him. His mind, Lord, strengthen his mind. Establish the work of his hands, Lord Jesus. That he would truly know that what you want him to do in life, Lord, what you want him to say in his business, in his marriage, as a daddy, Lord, and just for his whānau, that huge family, Lord, all those mains, Lord. Lord, just that he would be a testimony of your love and grace to them all, Lord Jesus, and that you would use him as an instrument of your peace in their lives. And we want to lift up Tony Ann too, Lord. Just that little life within her, Lord. What an incredible miracle that you would cause a man and a woman to come together and the seed would just bring forth life, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for that baby that you're forming within Tony Ann's womb. Lord, and just strengthen her, Lord, and just grant her wisdom about what she should do, Lord. Lord, I know that the answer is even on its way now, Lord. Just uphold her before your mighty throne of grace and mercy this morning, Lord. Tony Ann, even Marcus and little Eloise, and that little life within her, Lord, that we're so looking forward to seeing being brought forth. Pray for Jackson today too, Lord Jesus. Just draw him unto yourself, Lord. Yes. It's not about, it's that relationship, Lord Jesus. Yes. Just strengthen his relationship with you and that he would see the hand of God in his life. And I just know for in our own family, we just want to lift up Isaac before you, Lord Jesus, and just move upon his heart in a mighty way, Lord, in a supernatural way that only you can do. And we just think of our friend Stanley, Lord. I know he's going through some stuff at the moment. He just needs you. He's been to our place for karakia, Lord, and just that you would speak to his heart. And the Hampson family, Lord, the girls have been here before to church. Lord, I know that in their family they have a great need of you at this time, Lord, so just undertake and just strengthen them, Lord, I pray. And we're so grateful. We just say amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. And we just continue to press into you in this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. I'd just like to pray at this time also for Singapore. I'm thinking of James and Meta now. You know, James tells me that he said it many times over there. He said, Brother Lee, when he rings me up, he says, do you know I just bring you before the Lord every day? Every day. He's done that for a long time. He used to stay with us when we had our conventions and that, and we've got a very good relationship. That's what he says. He says as recent as this time was about 2 weeks ago when he phoned. He says, you know, I still pray for you every day. Well, I'd like to pray for the Nair family, James and Meta particularly, but also remembering Henry and Pauline Goy there in Singapore. Always so nice. There's all those lovely people. And now I know our brother prayed for the Singapore people, Howard Murugaya, and for his healing. But just for these two and their groups, just let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and just uplift the fellowships there in Singapore. And Pauline and Henry Goy, Lord, just bless them. They're out for you, Lord. They're doing the best they can for you. And we're so very grateful that people are in different places at your choosing, to encourage them to follow the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for these people and very grateful, Lord, that we can. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Do we have any? I don't know. I asked that. We had none. That's right. Just remember, today we have lunch as usual at the 1 p.m. service we have here this afternoon, and 7 p.m. Tuesday prayer meeting as usual. Let us sing hymn number 384, The Church's One Foundation. One, we used to sing that a lot in the Baptist Church years ago. We've sung here occasionally. Him, himself, and he lives within us. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord is trying to provide everything for the world, but there's only His children that are going to receive it. So just let's sing one more before Brother Howard comes. There's the chorus, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows, You'll Find Jesus. And now this is personal, right down to you and me. So love the Lord on a daily basis and every day. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who always can understand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I like singing that song after that. I shall know him. I shall know him. Who knows that one? You don't know? 1920, Fanny Crosby wrote that. By the nail prints in his hands. I'll know him by feeling the nail prints in his hands. It's wonderful. We have it actually on the redemption. It follows on, but not on the Only Believe book. However, God bless you all. It's good to be here. Who's happy to be here?
Yes.
Praising the Lord.
Amen.
Those coast people look pretty cold with all their little turbans on and whatever. but we've got a really beautiful day today and tomorrow. So we praise God for that. It's blue sky. We look forward to that. So I want to read your scripture because it came to me. I hope I can find it now. It's found in Psalms 37, I believe. Here we go. Pages joined together, that's the problem. Found it. Now, sometimes we wonder why things don't always turn out as they should. And I just want to read this scripture to you because it's a real blessing. It's found in Psalm 37. Sister Leah, you could help me out. Psalm 37, verse 3. We'll start with that. Powerful stuff. Now, this is a promise of God. This is, thus saith the Lord. It has to come to pass. Who believes this? Amen. If God said it, he'll stand behind this word. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It didn't say read your Bible and sing and pray. Delight yourself in the Lord. It means to love him, to commune with him, to think about him. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Delight yourself on the Lord. In other words, instead of delighting yourself on your cell phone, like we say that, or whatever, TV, but we don't have TV, do we? And delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And I said to somebody, might have been my wife, somebody, it's this. When you delight, oh, hi, Brother Pesser, God bless you. Didn't see you down there. When you delight yourself on the Lord, that he'll grant you the desires of your heart. And the desires of my heart is not a new car, unless God would do that, I don't know. But what desires of my heart is to dwell in his presence. God knows that. He knows that. All I want to do is be in the presence of God. Brother and sister, you'll never, ever be happy. You'll never be satisfied until you feel the presence, like Brother Lee said, in your heart, not in your head. In your heart, you feel something moving. You want it? Start delighting yourself in the Lord. Start dwelling upon him. Thou will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, and when you start thinking about the Lord, and then you'll start seeing the blessings of God coming into your life and your family and everything else because you're delighting yourself in God. Here's the thing you like to be. You know, people that delight themselves in hunting, for instance, or fishing or whatever, that's okay. But, you know, that's all they think about is fishing and hunting. And that's all right. But, brother and sister, when you delight yourself in the things of God, the blessings of God's with you. Praise the Lord. That's all we have this morning, so we'll go home. Wouldn't it be good just to bring a scripture like that and out of here and let it dwell in our heads. So I pray that you'll be blessed by that, encouraged by that. I've been really, just felt so good when I saw that the other day, and it just sort of quickened to me. Praise the Lord. Sister Pauline's not with us. I thought she was... she coming this afternoon, Brother Paul, maybe? Oh, that's great. Mate, that's good. It's really good to be in the house of God, and I want to know if we could stand to God and read God's word in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. We've got a new operator up there, Sister Leah. How we appreciate that, Sister, learning the ropes. Very handy to have somebody to do that. James chapter 1, verse 22, for you out there that are listening and watching. You may be able to see it on the screen if you zoom up on your computer or whatever. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He saw the picture and then he forgot all about it. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So may God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray, brother and sister? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning with very grateful hearts, Lord, that you are able to move upon our hearts. Lord, we haven't got stony hearts this morning, but soft, tender hearts that you can speak to. Lord, may we not resist the word of God. May we gladly receive it into our hearts. For your words are life. You said the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So, Lord, may you bless your word this morning for a few moments. I pray that you'll quicken it to us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a short message this morning. We have communion. I suppose you mentioned that. Oh. We have communion this afternoon. So if you could just bear that in mind also. Now, I've got this message here. It takes... The title of the message is, it takes more than conviction. People say, oh, I was really convicted about that. That's nice. But that's only stage one. If you're convicted, what are you doing about it? So that's our message this morning. It takes more than conviction. And great numbers of people have no concern about eternal things. It's getting worse and worse. And this is a tragedy. They seem to be more concerned about their cat and dogs than their own soul. You know, I just saw recently an interview, and the interview with the Jews on the streets of Jerusalem. They were just coming up to people, just ordinary Jewish people, some of them fine-looking people. But I tell you what, it's not how you look on the outside. It's how you're on the inside. And they ask them a question. What does Jesus Christ mean to you? And brother and sister, I was horrified. These are God's people in Israel. I know there's a chosen Israel in those things. But they are as blind as a bat, truly. And they asked them, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? Oh. He's nothing. Or maybe he's a good prophet. Those are the answers I'm getting. And I asked one lady, well, we believe in Judaism. And he has nothing to do with Judaism. We have the Korah. We have the priests and the temple and whatever. But basically it meant nothing. We're a secular society. And we don't want to be necessarily called Jews. We want to call Israelis and this sort of thing. And I tell you what, I went to prayer and I prayed for those people. Brother, sister, we need to have a love for the Jewish people. You know why? They were blinded for you. They were smitten blind, and God turned to the Gentiles. We're Gentiles that we may see. Now, the day is coming, praise the Lord, that God's going to send his prophets to Israel, anointed prophets with signs and wonders and miracles, and the Jewish eyes will be opened. And they will see the one whom they have pierced. And they say, where did you get the nails in your hand, nail prints in your hands? He said, I got it in the hands of my friends, in the house of my friends. The Bible says Israel's going to go into great mourning. They're going to make booths. I don't want the little rooms, maybe up on top of their decks or wherever they are. They're going to go in there and weep for days and days, great weeping, because they crucified the Messiah, whom they do not receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. I heard these people saying it. Not every one of them. Some said some nice things about him, but still no revelation. Now that's all going to happen when we're out of here. When the bride's taken, God will go to the Jews and reveal himself to them. So pray for Israel. But I just had to say that because it's a great mercy to you and I to be made to think about our salvation. It's a great mercy that you would actually stop doing what you're doing, getting so busy, you haven't got time to think. You can't even think straight because you're so busy. Get away alone and start thinking about your salvation. The Bible says, sort out your own soul's salvation with fear and trembling. So those that do have a conviction, they do get convicted. I've seen people many times, but it's for a very short time. But the conviction was from God, but it's short-lived. This is our subject. It takes more than conviction. And like the man in our reading, he sees himself in the mirror. Oh, is that? Oh, goodness me, is that how I look? Oh, really? Oh, look at me, I'm a mess. Hair's all over the place, beard growing out or whatever. It's all right for people to have beards, but you know what I'm saying, scruffy ones. But then he goes away and he forgets what he saw in the mirror and does nothing about cleaning himself up. That's what the Bible's saying. Or he looks in the mirror and says, I'm a mean guy. I'm selfish. I look after me. I do nothing for others. Oh, this is terrible. He walks away from the mirror and he forgets all about it. And there'll be millions who were once convicted by God and they'll find themselves in hell. That is sure. That is one thing the Bible is very clear on. As we often preach, the Bible speaks more about hell than heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, it's a place to be avoided. We never want to get into a state of just, you know, just taking it easy. There are millions who will fall into that category, and unfortunately, most. Though this is a very sobering thought, it takes more than conviction. You see, brother and sister, many hear the call of conviction. And there's two scriptures I'd like to read. And it's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. It says this. And when the king came to see the guests, that's our Lord, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Let me say this, my brother and sister, wherever you are, don't ever be speechless when you come to the Lord. You want to say, Lord, I'm trusting in the blood of Jesus. I'm trusting in your shed blood, Lord. That's all I can do. And that's what he wants you to say. But this man was speechless, the Bible says. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says, for many are called. Now, brother and sister, this calling is from God. It's a call of the Holy Spirit calling, oh, I feel I should do something. I'm convicted about my life. That's good, but that's not all. But few are chosen. I wonder why they weren't chosen, because they stopped at the conviction. Conviction's not good enough by itself. The other one I want to read. You see, brother and sister, he's always willing to save those that come to him. It's never God's fault. It's never God's problem. He's willing to save you. Just come to him and say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of living a dilly-dally life. I'm a bit of a double-minded person. Lord, I want to be sure and settled, sure as if I would leave the scene today. I won't be speechless in your presence, Lord. Turn to Luke 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? I was asking the Lord, is there just going to be few that are saved? And he said unto them, this is the Lord's answer, it's not my opinion. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Or they get convicted. They know they need to go further with God. But that's as far as it goes. They just get convicted. So our question is, what went wrong? These people are definitely invited, but failed to arrive at their destination. There's so much in the Bible, there's screeds of scripture that'll say the same thing I'm telling you. Invited, made light of the invitation. They didn't take it seriously. They neglected so great a salvation. Neglected it. They didn't actually say, I reject it. They just neglected it. And you say, I love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. But are you neglecting him in your life? We wonder why we have our problems many times. It's because we neglected him. So there's actually, and this is a major subject, believe it or not, there's actually two parts to salvation. Hearing the word and acting upon it. And I said to my wife this morning, there's something in God's word that's very true and very clear. And it's this. There's one thing God requires of his people. Obedience. And brother and sister, everywhere in the Bible, if we don't obey him, we're in serious trouble. And he loves us and he wants to help us. But there's one thing you need to do is obey. So many examples in the Bible of this happening. The rich young ruler is one. He said, he came running to the Lord. He was earnest. He was convicted. He ran to the Lord and he knelt down and said, Master, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit the eternal life? It looked pretty good. And he was sincere and he was convicted. But he never went to heaven. Standing right in front of Jesus, asking that question. When Jesus told him what to do, he couldn't receive. He's not prepared to receive or act upon what Jesus told him to do. That was to sell all he had, give his money to the poor and follow him. Take up his cross and follow him. In James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word. Doers. Not hearers only. See, the hearing's important, but the doing brings it together. That's what the Bible says. And it says here, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know what that means? It doesn't deceive God. He can see through it. It deceives you. Because you think you're doing great because you heard the word and you agree with it. But he wants us to be more than conviction. He wants us to get serious about it. If you say sorry to somebody, you really mean it. Your whole life will show that you mean it. As Brother Lee was saying, sorry, Brother Lee, but he's saying, I love you and oh, I adore you. But you know there's something missing. There's no reality in it. You've got to be in love. If you love the Lord Jesus, you'll tell him so. And you'll act differently. Your whole life will show that to the world that you mean it and that you are. They saw the disciples, and the Bible says they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Their life testified of where they'd been. So it's more than just saying, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, of my sins, please forgive me. Uh-uh. That's important, but your life will back it up. I've been in meetings. I've been in meetings here and overseas many times. And I have seen many tears of conviction. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, just trust me. I've seen many tears of conviction. And those that have gone with me have seen it too. But alas, no action was taken after they left the surface. It was just a feeling of conviction and remorse that they had done what they'd done. But that's as far as it went. So it takes more than conviction. They saw themselves in the mirror of God's word, what they are and what they should do. But straightway forget what they saw in the meeting. Oh, I tell you what, if you feel a conviction of God, do it. Do it immediately. Don't say, some other time I'll do it. No. Because it'll leave you. You've got to move while God's convicting you. That's the only time you can come to God is when he's calling you. Jesus said, no man cometh to me except my Father draw him. In Matthew 13, verse 18, we read, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, they hear the word, they hear the sermon, they hear the tapes, whatever you want to put, however you want to put it, and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. Taken out. Maybe through reasoning. Maybe through distractions. Maybe by wrong influences. And it's taken away, and that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside, Jesus said. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and annoy with joy receiveth it. Oh, this is wonderful revelation. Hallelujah. God's speaking to my heart. That's good. It takes more than God speaking to you. It takes more than conviction. And yet hath he no root, not root in himself, but dureth for a while, just for a while, just waiting for the service, just for the convention time. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now there's no question that the person had heard the word Jesus said, they received it with joy, they were convicted of what they should be doing. But what happened? In come the influences. In comes the persecution. In comes tribulation. Things get tough. And because they did nothing before, they let it slip. By and by, and it's gone. And you know what? You can't bring it back either. You cannot bring conviction back. You've got to move while it's there, while God is speaking to you. There's no question they are convicted. But they do not go all the way right through to a full repentance of that thing. And so what happens, that germ of sin's left in there. It resurrects itself again. Manifests, and it's worse than the first one. They have a relapse of sin because it's never really dealt with. There's another man in the Bible I want to speak about. And he came under conviction. Acts 24:24. And it says this. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul, who was a prisoner, and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. So he patiently sat while Paul ministered to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably still had chains on. His hands were chained together, but he preached. And the Bible says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled like this. Oh, no. Oh, no, not me. He was under conviction. Conviction brings you, makes you shake right through your whole system. It really makes you tremble. It's a good thing. God-given. But you've got to do something with it. Don't make light of it. Because it may not come back again. And this is what he said. A foolish statement from Felix. When he was shaking, he said, go thy way for this time. Whew, quick, get out of here. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But you know what? He couldn't call the conviction back. Gone forever. These things are sad stories. Don't play with God, brother and sister. When God is calling you and you know God is speaking to you. And Felix wasn't afraid of Paul. No, he wasn't. Paul was the prisoner. And Felix was the Roman governor. So why was he trembling? He was trembling because of the word that he heard of righteousness and judgment to come. Conviction at the word of God. Also an open confession, a confession by one hearing the word. I'm going to read this other one. This is not the Roman governor. This is King Agrippa. At the same time, the Paul was a prisoner. And Paul said to him after testifying to King Agrippa, he says this in Acts 26:26. Paul says to him, after ministering to him the word of God, just like he did to Felix, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things, King Agrippa, are hidden from him. You know, King Agrippa, you know I'm telling you the truth. For this thing was not done in the corner. There's no excuses on that day. You know, you knew. And King Agrippa, he said to him, Paul said, believest thou the prophets? And Paul says, I know that thou believest. Paul, through the discernment, knew that King Agrippa believed. But it takes more than that. Then is an open confession from King Agrippa. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That almost is not good enough. I'm sorry. almost is not good enough, brother and sister. You must be fully persuaded. As the song says from this, I am persuaded, I've made up my mind. Almost persuaded, but lost. But like that song you sing, one day, just one day left. One day it's going to, you know, one day we're not going to have the opportunity. And brothers and sisters, if we could just, God be good enough to open our understanding and show us the reality of what's been said. In my own life and in your life and you people out there, God will speak to you too. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But Paul was sent away with his chains rattling. He brought the precious word of life. And the man was deeply convicted. Both men were convicted. But they did nothing about it. We must be fully persuaded by acting upon the word that has convicted us. 2 Corinthians, we read, chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now you can receive the grace of God in vain. You can come to church, you can hear the word, say, that's it, oh, that's right. And that's as far as it goes. You look in the mirror and you walk away. The mirror of God's word revealed what you need to do and I need to do. And we've got to do something with it or we forget it when we leave the mirror. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. What's the accepted time? When you're convicted. You need to do it when you're convicted. God's speaking to you. You must do it. Then, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We must act immediately upon conviction, while it's upon you. You know, that's an amazing thing when God brings conviction. Do you know, the Bible says, by the goodness of God that he leadeth you to repentance. To actually be led to repentance like those people in Israel on the streets of Jerusalem when they're presented with Christ. Oh, that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm a Jew. I'm not a Christian. It takes God to make it real to you. That you're lost without Jesus Christ. We've got to act upon it. We must act immediately upon it. I love the story in Luke 10, verse 8. This is what conviction, real conviction, followed by action does. It's a story about Zacchaeus, the little short guy that climbed the tree. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, he had had a close encounter with the Lord and he felt great conviction about his life. Isn't that wonderful? You can't stand in front of the Lord and not be convicted. He's just so holy and beautiful. And we feel so unclean without the blood of Jesus. And he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, listen carefully. This is not playing church. I restore him fourfold. So if you did a devious thing and you took from somebody $100, Zacchaeus said, I'm prepared to pay back $400 because I want to be right with God. That was something he had felt to do. And Jesus said unto him, after he had made his confession, his action to do it, said this, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as ye, he also is the son of Abraham. Brother and sister, he didn't say, oh, I've just, I've done terrible things, Lord. I'll make sure I don't do it again. No, something else happened. I want to repay what I've done. True repentance brings a change of direction. True repentance, you'll do something about it. Not just be convicted about it. When Jesus was left with a woman that was caught in adultery, terrible thing. Actually caught in the very act, the Bible says. They dragged her. See her dragging along the road. And they dragged him to Jesus. Her to Jesus. Listen to his words to her. It was twofold. Listen to the words of Jesus, brother and sister. Listen carefully. It was twofold. John 10:18. And when Jesus had lifted him up himself, because he said, he that hath not committed sin cast the first stone. They heard that there's a stone dropping time. They all started dropping the stone, clonk, 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 from the oldest to the youngest. And then they're all gone. And Jesus looked up, there's just a woman there. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Now listen to Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Isn't that beautiful? One. Two. Go and sin no more. You see, brother and sister, when the conviction comes, there's forgiveness. And there's a change of attitude, change of direction. There's no more sinning. You don't go back to it, start doing the same thing again. You finish with it. And that's what the Lord said to the woman. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Twofold. Conviction produces action. Grace was given. And also an obligation of obedience to the woman. There's two on the road to Emmaus. This is beautiful. Just look at these two on the road to Emmaus. They're walking along, sad, heart saddened, because Jesus said they were. Why are you sad of heart? They said, you're just a stranger around here. Don't you know what's happened? They've taken the Son of God and crucified him. You don't know about this? And the Bible said Jesus hid himself so they didn't recognize who he was. They confessed later on. As Jesus spoke to them, their hearts burned. You see, that's what God speaks to you, is because a burning sensation in here, a conviction that you need to do something about it. It says here in Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? While he talked to us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. See, the scriptures, when God quickens the scriptures to it, will bring a burning feeling, a conviction that you need to do something, or you need to, all sorts of things, be encouraged or blessed. But it doesn't stop there, brother and sister. And many people feel this awesome presence, as the brothers to Emmaus did. Did not our hearts burn? But they never stopped there. That was not the end of it. He started walking on. Excuse me, he said, sir, why don't you come into us? Come into our home, please. The day is far spent. Why don't you come? You know what it is? They wanted more of that presence. And so Jesus made out as if he was going to go on, but they persuaded him. They persuaded him to come into their hearts, come into their house. And he came in. The Bible says he broke bread and they recognized who he was. And he vanished out of their sight. They never stopped at just feeling the burning. They never stopped the conviction. They asked Jesus to come into them and abide. Jesus says in Luke 24:29, 24:29. And they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." You know, brother and sister, the only way you're going to be happy is for Jesus to abide with you. Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And Jesus said later on, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, brother and sister, there's not just a warm feeling. You invite him into your life. Lord, I want you to come and take over my life. I want you, Lord, to be king of my life. I am sick and tired of doing my own thing. I want to do from now on what you're wanting me to do. The Lord says, that's what I want to hear. Now I can bless you. Now I can help you. Not just feeling a conviction, a little feeling. It's more than that. It takes more than conviction. It takes an action of faith and acting upon. We feel that wonderful convicting presence. Invite him in quickly to your house. Into your heart. Say, Lord, I want you to come and stay with me. Lord, I just want you to go. Don't leave me now, Lord. Let that presence remain with me. Lead me and guide me. Give me your wisdom. I want to delight myself in you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. That's really wonderful, isn't it? That's what God wants to do with you. He's got a, you know, we're only 40% running. God wants 100% full blessing upon your life as you are not just being convicted, but you're actually going to do something about it. That's the difference between those who felt it in the Bible and came so close and they didn't do anything about it. They walked away sad, like the rich young ruler. He turned away sad at the words Jesus said. Couldn't do it. In Isaiah 55:6, says this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I want to say this, and I add this, for there's coming a day when he may not be found. He can only be found of you when he starts knocking at your heart's door. That's the only time you can respond, is when he comes to you. Call ye upon him while he's near. While you feel that conviction. While you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Do something about it. Don't let it go past. Oh, I've missed it now. I felt good in the church, but now it's gone. Call ye upon him while he's near. Lord, be merciful unto me. Oh, Lord Jesus, when you feel that wonderful presence, don't let him go. Like Jacob and the angel. He held on. The angel said, let me go. He said, I'm not going to let you go. No. No way am I going to let you go, angel. And he wrestled with him. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. That's how it's got to be. He could have said, oh, that's a nice experience being with you. No, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, Lord. I'm going to hold on to you. You've got to prevail with God. He was called a prince of God, with God, because he held on to God. He wasn't happy for a little blessing now and again, a few tears now and again. No, he held on to God. In closing, I want you to listen to this word here. In Romans 10:8. What saith it? The word is near thee. The word of God is near you this morning. You can feel him speaking to you now. It's near you. Even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is. The word of truth, faith, which we preach. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart. See the two actions? Not just saying, I believe in my heart, but with your mouth you're confessing it. that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Who loves the Lord?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Who loves the Lord? That's it. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You've got to mean it, not just feel it. You've got to do something with it. I know this is true. I just know it's true. Because I know it in my own life. The only place I really start getting anywhere with God when I start doing it. Doing what he told me to do. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. 1. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a confession of your faith. It's just so vital. Finally, on the day of Pentecost, this is what happened. In Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now listen, brother, sister, everybody listen. Everyone, listen to what it says next. And when they heard this, when they heard the preaching of Peter, they were pricked in their hearts. Pricked. Conviction, that means. When they were pricked in the heart, it means they were convicted. Quite a sermon he preached, actually. I would be. I would have been too. I am. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You've got to do something now. When the pricking's taking place of the convictions in your heart, you must do something. God's expecting an action from you. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive, hallelujah, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as our Lord, our God shall call. Now, verse 41, sister, it says this. Then they that gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were pricked, they were convicted at the word that Peter preached. They said, what shall we do? He said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did they do? Say, that was a nice message. No. 3,000 people went down into the river and were baptized and were filled with the Holy Ghost. What a meeting. I would have loved to be there. I tell you, I would have been there. Wouldn't you be there, Brother Brian? What a time. 3,000 souls in the baptism. You can imagine the Holy Ghost falling on them. They were drunk in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, because they received it just like the apostles did. In the same way, the Bible says so. They didn't say, well, we heard a nice message today. That was a good message. Yeah, it really pricked our hearts, really convicted us. And they went home? No, they went down to the river. Down to the river to pray. They got down in there and they were baptized, every one of them, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, brother and sister, I close. This is where I stop. This is where you start. I can't go any further with you. I've got my own life to sort out. I've got to do something about it. Conviction is not good enough by itself. It takes more than conviction. It takes an action. I said the people in Singapore, the ball's in your court. It's up to you now. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. And you know what it is. You say, oh, brother, how? What have I done wrong? It's not for me to tell you. God's able. He's very able to tell you what you need to do. But But if we neglect so great salvation, how shall we escape? If we neglect such great salvation, how shall we escape if we neglect the word we've heard? Shall we stand for prayer? Every head bowed, every heart bowed before God. Precious Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. And these lovely people here that love you. They love you. They've come to church because they want to get closer to God. They know things are not as they ought to be. They want to serve you. They want to praise you. They want to worship you. I pray, Lord Jesus, you will touch them and those that are listening too. They will search their hearts and say, Lord, I have a conviction. I've been convicted. I know I've been pricked in my heart. But Lord, don't let me be like Felix, Roman governor, or King Agrippa. So when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee and you can convict me more. No, Lord, doesn't work that way. We know that, Lord. If you're convicting us now, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that we need to do something. So, Lord, I commit this audience into your hands and those that are listening, wherever they may be. For your Holy Spirit is in America. Lord, it's in Russia. It's in the Philippines. It's in Australia. Wherever this word has been aired right now, I pray that you'll do a work because it's live, Lord. It's something that they feel now and you are always live. You're a living God. I pray, Lord, you'll bring great conviction upon our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Please have your way, Lord. I commit this word to you. I pray, Lord, you'll bring forth fruit in the lives of each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. When Jacob met the Lord upon that lonely night, and wrestled there alone until the morning, he won the princely title to good and full life. I want that kind of blessing. I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and stands. To tell anybody, you just need to tell the Lord. Or maybe there's somebody who wants prayer for something, for healing, whatever it is. The Lord is here. When you come to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus, He'll meet your need. As we sing the next last verse and chorus, just come and we'll do it. We'll pray and God will honor His word. If you be sincere, God will be sincere with you. This is the day of grace. The comfort is here. We are a chosen race. Our God is roaring near. He's waiting to be gracious. The prayer of faith will hear. And then he'll say, the blessing. Oh, I want that heart.
I've heard many times, not necessarily in a spiritual sense, but it's like a vote. If you want to vote, you can say, yes, I do, or no, I don't. But after that vote, you've got to move your feet. You either move your feet for it or move your feet against it. So we've got to do something about what we say. Let's sing number 47. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look into the only point to serve the one in the sky. When I bring on the mountain, when he takes me to the
You know the song we just sung before there, I know the Lord will make a way for me. He's already done it. All we've got to do is move our feet and walk in it. It sounds simple, doesn't it? And it is. But we've got to do it. If you want to walk somewhere, you've got to move your feet. And if you want to get to the destination, you've got to do something about it. So we all come to that time. Sometimes it's hard to make the decision, but oh, so glad when you've done it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for what it promises. And we know it's not just on the day, at the sermon, at the church. It's for eternity. These are eternal questions that we need to answer. Lord, you made a way for us. We know that. You chose us. We've just got to walk in it. Help us all, Lord. We all slip back a little. And circumstances make it hard to go uphill. But there's also the downside of the hill, which is real nice. It's easy to go. But Lord, we want your way. Whatever you say, may we do it. Cause us, Lord, to be blessed and be a blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Be with us this afternoon at the 1 p.m. meeting. Just bless the food we're about to have, the lunch. Bless the people that listened in on the internet and the CDs, their time of listening. Bless them, bless them, bless them. We ask these things in the holy, precious name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.